Lord, I pray that you would make this a sermon that would glorify you and would challenge all of us to live for you on a daily basis, an hourly basis. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving is all over. You know that 46 million turkeys were on the tables, approximately. 46 million turkeys go out across the nation and sit in the middle of a table. I heard it said that one stuffed turkey comes to the table and six... Yeah, we'll leave that alone. You know, we get together and we give thanks for what we have. And like us in our house, we kind of went around the table and gave thanks for what God has given us and what things that we were thankful for. And yet, you know, there's this dysfunctionality in our families, and I've become more and more aware of this in the family of God, that we have a dysfunction, that we put on the face, and yet there's discord in families, and bitterness, and arguing, and anger, and grudges, and profanity, and cheating going on in families, and not just any families, it's the Church of God families. Behavior that grieves the Lord. I was looking through the scriptures because I wanted to know, you know, God, how do you feel about these things? And yeah, God is saddened by our behavior. I'd like you to go to a scripture to get a sense of that. Chapter 63 in Isaiah 11:25 in your pew Bibles. 11:25, Isaiah 63. And we're going to start in verse 8. And, of course, this is God speaking about the people of Israel. But I believe that we can talk about the Church of God or about us, His people. And this is what he says in verse 8. He says, "Surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me." And so he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So He turned and became their enemy, and He Himself fought against them. You know, it's a difficult scripture to read, because what we find here is that the people of Israel were His people. He called them out. He saved them from not only slavery in Egypt and brought them out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and fed them in the wilderness, and did all those things, and through this all, when they were distressed, He was distressed. When they hurt, He hurt. But then they turned their backs on Him. And I find that happens to all of us. And I don't care how old we are, how young we are, whatever it is, how strong of a Christian you are, at some point in your life, you're going to hurt Him. You're going to distress Him. You're going to grieve God. And they turned their backs on Him, and He grieved, says the Holy Spirit was grieved. And so then He disciplined them. And I believe God disciplines us as well, because we are His children. You know, Jesus longed to help Israel, and I want us to go to Luke chapter 13. It's 1590 in the Pew Bibles, just to see a little bit of the heart of Jesus. Chapter 13 in Luke, verse 34. And Jesus has seen, you know, he's lived enough time in that time period, Israel's, in the nation Israel and through all this. And he sees what's going on in Israel. He sees what the Pharisees are doing. He sees what all is happening. And in verse 34, he says this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And so what we see here, what I see, and I don't know if you see this or not, but this is what I see. I see Jesus looking out over this city, Jerusalem, looking at all the people walking around with blinders on, with no sense, no clue. And I don't know, but some of you have gone to the Black Friday sales and fought the people. And see the people fighting over what? You know, and it has to give us a sense of looking through the store and watching all this happen, and we say the same thing. Why? Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You kill the prophets and you stone those sent to you. I wish I could gather you. And that's the kind of sense that I get. I don't know about you, how you feel about this, but we just don't want to read this like, oh, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets. Put some feeling into it, because Jesus is grieving for his people. And I wonder if we are grieving the Holy Spirit too. We call ourselves Christians, and our actions fail to confirm that. We say we love the Lord, and then we turn around and do things that disgust Him, that hurt Him. And I know we do that sometimes. But there's an answer to that, and we'll get to it. You know, we have to focus on Him this morning, and I want us to really take this in. Our lives should show the love of God in kindness and forgiveness and patience. In Ephesians chapter 4, 1779, in your Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, 1779 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. It's a little bit longer of a scripture, but I want to read this because it's so important. Verse 17, it says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And so you see, that's the attitude we're supposed to have. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to follow Christ. Not the way of the Gentiles, where we're just running amok and doing anything that our feelings decide to do. But we should have self-control. We should be patient with one another, compassionate to one another. If we're full of anger and we're full of bitterness, we have a problem. And we need to get it right. And, you know, I've heard it, and I'm sure you've heard it too, from your parents when they say, you know better when you did something wrong. I said it myself. You know, when you grow up, and as you're growing up, you say, I'm never going to do the things that my dad did. I'm never going to say the things that my dad said. And yet you find you are. Because I say them all the time. I repeat those things. And I get the same answer that I gave when I was a kid. You know better. You shrug your shoulder. I don't know. We refuse to humble ourselves. And that's where our problem lies. We're not living by the commands that God has given us. We're living according to our own flesh. It's time to fess up. No longer are we to say, oh, it's their fault. It's their fault, and they're the problem. Why should I apologize? I'm right, they're wrong. You know, these are the things that God speaks against in His Word. He really speaks against, you know, the terminology, well, I can't forgive them. Really? Christ forgave you, and you can't forgive them? Now, there's a problem then. Now, let me say that you know the truth. We've read it. You've heard it. You know the truth. Stop trying to justify your bad behavior. You know, I do that sometimes. You know, Kathy will see something, you know, like papers in the kitchen, you know, on the counter that I didn't throw away. And what's this paper doing up here? Well, there was this guy came in the house. He ate the cookies and left the crumbs there. He put the wrappers on the counter. I had nothing to do with it. We all want to justify our bad behaviors. We all want to say, I'm not so bad. But it's time to fess up and say, yeah, I'm at fault. I did it. I'm sorry. I want us to go to Galatians chapter 6. It's the book back from Ephesians 17:74. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, it's time to stop trying to fool everybody. You know, you can put on that face for me, you know, and probably get by because what do I know? You know, if you look happy, I'm thinking you're happy. You know, and you can fool me, but you can't fool God. And you know, eventually it comes out. You know, you can't live in a small town without knowing what's going on. And I have people come to me and they tell me stuff. And I have stuff, and I know that you know about me as well. You can't fool everybody all the time. And you can't fool God at any time. And God isn't fooling around. This is not a big game, you know. It's like I remember in the bus and, you know, driving it when I was driving the bus and stuff. And you'd look in the mirror and the kids would try to get away with stuff. You ever, you know, your kids do that too, but in classes, you know, school and whatever, you know, kids try to get away with stuff. And so, you know, they're like doing something and then they put it down real quick and hope you didn't see it. And, you know, it's like, am I stupid? Do I have the word on my forehead, stupid, you know, backwards, so they look in the mirror and they see it straight on? I don't know what they're thinking. I remember I thought my parents knew nothing. And so I came home one day because we had got in some back corner somewhere and we were smoking. You know, that was the bad thing to do back in our day. You know, we were smoking cigarettes. We found one in the street. Yeah. With lipstick on it or something. We were so stupid back then. We just did things that were, you know, what are we thinking? Well, anyway, I go home and my mom stops me at the door and says, if I ever catch you smoking again, I'm going to tan your eye. I thought, how did she know? I don't know, but you know, when you don't smoke, you smell it on people. I got kids when they came on the bus, you know, you could tell that their parents smoked or they were smoking, because you could smell it on their clothes. But I thought my mom was psychic. And that she, so you know what? I never, well, I did misbehave a few times, but I never did much because I figured I'd get caught. But you know, God catches us all the time. God knows about us all the time. We can put on the face, we can put out the words, we can teach Sunday school, we can do all kinds of things in the church. But God knows. Do not be deceived, it says. God cannot be mocked. You're not going to say, ha, I got one over on you, God. A man reaps what he sows. What you sow, you're going to reap. And if you're sowing anger and discord and strife and sin and the things that are against God, the things of the flesh, if you're sowing those things, you are going to reap destruction. Now, it may not be your death, but it could be that too. But it may be things falling apart in your life. You got to get it straight. In Luke, I want us to go back to Luke 1589 in your few Bibles. Luke chapter 13 again. Going back to Luke 13. Starting verse 22. It says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you'll say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from the east and west and north and south and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. What a tragedy to go through your life thinking, "I'm cool. God's my friend." You know, we talked to somebody and we wanted to know where this person was in their relationship to God, because we really felt compelled that they weren't quite right with the Lord. And so we started to talk with her and asked about her relationship with God. And she said, "Me and the big guy upstairs are good friends." You know, and I questioned that. We both questioned that, because throughout the time we were with this person, never a mention of the Lord Jesus Christ, never a mention about anything. But her and God, or the man upstairs, the big guy, are good friends. I can't judge her salvation. I only know that it's a condition between you and the Lord. But I ask, is your relationship right with God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Or are you going to be the one knocking on the door and God saying, "Go away, I don't know you"? It's too serious to play games. This, we're talking about eternal life. This is like, you know, when somebody says it's a life and death situation. This is a life and death situation. Because if you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior and you pass away, which can happen at any time, or He comes again, you're going to be at the door and you won't get in. God's Word says you need to repent. Now, most of us, we're so full of stupid pride that we don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to let go of that stupid pride. We want to feel like we're tough. "Hey, I taught Sunday school. I went to church every Sunday. I taught Christianese. I know how to talk about, are you blessed? Are you? I'll pray for you. God is my Savior. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know how to talk all those words." And then you have nothing in your heart. You've never given your life to the Lord. You've never repented of your sins. You've never humbled yourself before Him to give Him your life. And so you go around your life and you're acting completely opposite to what the Scripture says, because you think that you have it in the bag. James says if your life doesn't match up with the Scriptures, if it doesn't match up with faith, then it's dead. We got to stop the dysfunctional lifestyle. We need to repent seriously, because we cannot act opposite of what the Scripture tells us and think it's okay. It's not okay. And God will discipline His own. And you know, I would be really scared if I'm not getting disciplined by Him. Because now I'm wondering, am I His child or not? Because it says He'll discipline His children. But if you're not His child in the first place, there's no discipline. So where are you at? You've been fighting Him? You've been pushing Him away? Been acting your own sinful way according to the Gentiles and doing things that are contrary to the Scriptures and just feel okay with it? These are the kind of things that we've been increasingly aware of, I have for sure, is that even in the body of Christ, there are people who are acting completely the opposite. So I'm going to take some time right now, and I want us to pray. And I want you to search your heart. Because I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what God wants you to do. And I can't make you be a Christian. It has to come from you. It has to be between you and the Lord. So I want us to bow our heads. And if you want to straighten it out, you pray with me. Even you that have believed in the Lord, I know we've strayed and we've done our own thing. So let's just bow our heads and pray right now. Father, we come before You. And Lord, I pray that we dump the stupid pride. It has run our lives way too long. It has made us into stubborn, unbending idiots. There's no other way to call it. And Lord, I pray that we would wake up, that we would open our eyes and see the things that we're doing and the things that we should not be doing. Lord, I pray, if there's somebody here that has not accepted You as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they would pray with me. Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. I've been leading my own life. I've been doing my own thing. I've been hiding behind the Bible and the words, thinking that I can slide by. But today, I want to stop. Today, I want to choose You. I want You to run my life. I want You to be my Savior. Lord, I pray that You will forgive me for my stupid pride. I humble myself before You now. And I want You to run my life, to be my Savior. Lord, I know that there's some older Christians here too, and we've strayed away. We've done our own things. We've fallen from grace. And I pray that You will also hear our prayer of humility. You told us when we humble ourselves and pray, You will forgive us our sins and heal the land. And Lord, I pray that we kneel before You. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us and fill us with Your Spirit now. Help us to live for You from this point on, regardless of what goes on around us. We trust You now. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. The last song I'd like us to sing is up on the screen.